Welcome to episode number 13, lucky number 13.
Unlucky number 13.
Of the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
And yeah, we as always, we're going to just dive straight into it. We're not going to bother telling you how our week's been or catching up. We want to just get into the juice. Unless anyone cares about how our week's been. How's your week been, Jake? Nope, good, cool, great. Let's get into it.
Well, we've been pussyfooting around the questions a little bit too much, so I think later on in the episode we're just going to finally answer some of the questions people have sent in, and I'm going to blame you because it's your fault. You've not given yourself enough time to answer them. You've ran off
basically every time we
because
record,
you're hungry.
Jake comes in late from work.
Late from work at the time I get in from work. I don't come
exactly
in late from work.
Yeah, and I'm always hungry by that point. So I think this could just become the theme, like Jack Black's YouTube channel, where he says we'll play some games next week, and he never does. You know, maybe we just Jablinski games this, and we'll do the audience questions later on, and it never happens. No, but we are going to do audience questions today. So stay tuned. I've got a few things to cover before we jump into that. Mm-hmm. So, firstly, actually, Jake, I want to talk about one thing. Oh, I'd like you to talk about one thing. Which is that you did some performing this week. Quite a lot, yeah.
About nearly 10 hours straight.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much the whole time whilst I was at a funeral.
Wow.
Like the after party for the funeral.
The wake.
If you want to call it that.
Is it a wake or an after party? I've said this so many times over the years, magic at a funeral always goes down the best.
Yeah,
genuinely the best.
Yeah, so good, man.
So can you tell us about like everything from how you ended up doing the first trick? You know, what point do people go, right then? So, you know, oh, but I can't believe it was so sad. Anyway, mate, can you show us a trick? You know, everything. Can you tell us like sort of what happened and then types of magic performed, what worked, what didn't work, surprises?
So unless I've had time to prepare for anything, I am a pretty stilted performer. It's been a while since I've had to do a gig of any kind. And usually when I've been asked in the past to do a wedding, I've had a bit of time to make a mini set for myself that I can go through, which might be a crutch. I'm not someone who flows as fast between things, as opposed to like a very, very seasoned worker. So I make a little mini set for myself that I run through 20 times in my head. And it makes it a little bit easier for me. So I didn't really, I don't know, before I left for the funeral, I did message and I said to you, any suggestions on the off chance, you know, anyone asked for anything? Mm-hmm. I think you gave me a few suggestions, just simple stuff, you know, maybe use apps, a couple of simple card tricks. What else did you suggest?
Well, I suggested that you potentially stay away from anything too emotionally
my
mentalism. Well, yeah, I just find that like emotions are running high. And when you tend to do magic at a funeral, when I tend to do magic at a funeral, people are looking to almost like disconnect their emotions for a little bit, because the moment they stop and have a minute to themselves and think about something, sometimes people can start to break down, you know. And so it's almost like you're providing not the comic relief, but the astonished relief, you know. So yeah. I said, don't maybe not do anything, depending on who you're performing to as well. Some people don't care, they're happy.
So in general, whilst I was at like kind of the official family after party wake thing, I did stick to basic magician stuff. And then as soon as we went to a pub, I ignored what you said and made a couple of people cry.
I think it's only like in the immediate like aftermath of the thing. Once you're at the bar environment, then yeah, go for
gold. Yeah. But I mean, it literally started because we were sitting around. It's pretty bored. I was sitting at a table with two cousins, my sister, and people's respective partners.
Basically everyone you've ever slept with.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Nice. You know what? I've just realized we're recording on a bank holiday Monday. I'm busy. Do you want to just end the episode now?
It's bank holiday. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're from Liverpool. I'm allowed to say this.
But I'm a soft boy. I'm a sad boy. I listen to The Cure. You can't insult me. So essentially someone said, this is kind of boring. I wish we could play, like, anyone want to play poker? Jokingly. And then someone was like, yeah, I'd play a game of cards. I don't think anyone's brought cards to a funeral. And I was like, haven't they?
Oh, have I?
His marked deck begs to differ.
Do you bring a marked deck?
Yeah. No one in my family is going to look for a marked deck.
Oh, no, yeah. No, no one ever looks for a marked deck.
No.
Ever.
I also think that...
Well, maybe they do, but I mean, like, generally, like, 99% of people don't.
If I was performing to someone who is a magician, I probably wouldn't bring, you know, a deck of cohorts or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was family, so no one's really...
Yeah, no one cares.
No. No one's flicking through, looking at the corners.
So I think the important thing there is that you didn't introduce the concept of magic. It was brought up, or like the realm of playing cards, which then leads, you know, naturally into magic, which I always think is the important... I mean, generally, I can't remember the last time in the last decade really I've said, do you want to see a trick? But more than ever at funerals for me, it's I shut up. I don't even mention my job. I do not bring up the conversation of magic at all, because some people ain't ready for it, you know, because they're grieving sometimes. A lot of times, but some people have grieved and you know, it's a tricky subject, but yeah. So you didn't bring it up?
No. God no. Imagine how obnoxious that'd be.
Yeah, exactly. But the other cool thing about that is, because it seems unprepared, and in your mind you've already prepared by asking questions what to do and things like this and running through your little set in your head, it seems spontaneous to everyone else, and already you're bringing like this nuclear fucking power bank of weapons ready to go. I shouldn't have swore. I'm sorry.
I think it's okay after a certain amount of minutes into the video, right?
Who cares? It's bank holiday.
Peace.
In the UK, anyone outside of the UK, bank holiday is like a national holiday, so
yeah, we celebrate banks and the financial system, right?
Do we? Is that what it's for?
I don't think so. I have no idea. I don't know which bank holiday is it even?
The May Day? End of May? May bank holiday? Who cares? It's summer bank holiday.
Who cares?
I'm sitting in my office with a light shining in my face, artificial. And I can see how glorious the weather is outside. My garden is calling my name to go and sunbathe, but I'm doing this.
Yeah, yeah. That literally outside my window looks like actual heaven. So
then you realize it's Liverpool. What?
Wow. Someone woke up on the wrong side of bed this morning.
I'm kidding. I thought
you were my friend.
Liverpool is actually the best city in the UK.
Yeah, obviously. I mean,
there's so much cool, like literally it's so cultured. It's so good. It's so many things to do there compared to the rest of mostly everywhere. It's actually it's the city of culture, isn't it?
It was the European capital of culture 2008. When they had
that giant spider walking through the streets. I was there for that.
Was you?
Yeah.
Sweet, man. I probably mugged you whilst you were here.
You probably did. Here, let me try your socks on.
Wow.
Thank you. All right, cool. So you basically we're at this point where you're like, oh, I did happen to bring a deck of cards, and as far as prepared, that's as far as they think you're prepared. Really, you're ready to rock.
Yeah. So I just passed the cards to the guy who said about playing poker, and I said you can use them, and just didn't say anything for about 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh.
And
so they get beaten up and dirty and battered and bruised, like.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
And then my sister was like, will you show us a trick? And I said, no, it's not really the right time. It's not the right place.
Make them wait
another 10 minutes. Yeah. But then I essentially just started with like, I just like built it up with the most basic things. Yeah. I started with just key cards and mark deck stuff and two card Monty. You know?
Two card Monty, man. It's eternal. It's eternal.
Yeah. And well, because you're sitting with a group of people as well, you have that thing that you don't have when you're working, where someone will say, can you show me it again? And it's a little bit harder to get out of it when you're sitting with them the whole night.
Yeah.
So you just have to think of a different way to do it. I'll do the same key card trick, but the presentation's different. The supposed method is different. This time you're hovering your hand over something and, you know.
Mm. Dr. Daly's last trick is always a good one.
Yeah,
I don't. If you want to spice up two card Monty, I mean,
yeah, yeah, and it was literally just, it was pretty much that. I two small coin vanishes, just playing around. I'm not brilliant at card magic, and I'm especially not very good at jazzing with card magic. Like I said, I'm quite stilted when it comes to card tricks.
Yeah.
So trying to move my way through stuff kind of felt a bit awkward, but I had that whole, well, I'm at a funeral, so it's okay to like take a moment between each thing and just be like, oh, you know, let's ask a question about something.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter too much. I can't even remember what the effect was. I think it was just a key card trick. No, it wasn't. It was just peeking at the markings. But I passed the deck to my cousin and asked her to do a trick. And she was like, oh, I don't know how. Will you teach me? I was like, no, just try it. Just do what I did. So she was like holding it out to my sister, having her pick a card, which I looked at to see what it was. Put it back in, shuffle it. And I asked her to cut it a few times. I was just like, I don't know where I'm going with this. See what happens. And then the third time she cut it, I saw it was at the top. And I was like, yes. Oh, yes.
Hell yes.
So I just did... it was literally just hand her the card you've cut to.
And it was the perfect.
Yeah. And she did the trick.
Did she freak out?
Yeah, it's great.
So you also sent me a photo. You sent me the photo. I can actually, if you're okay, angle zero with a beer mat as well.
Oh, yeah. One of my faves.
How did that play out? Was that something I suggested to do? I think it was, maybe. Oh, no.
You always suggest it. It's all you go on about.
People love it, man. Yeah, there it is. There's a photo on screen. did that go down well?
Yeah, it went down really well. It was literally whilst my sister was in the bathroom. I tore off the corner. Pardon me. Tore off the corner of the beer mat and put it in the order of service that was on the table next to her, and put their glasses and her drink back on top of the order of service because they were already on it. Put the coaster underneath my drink, but like a slightly off the edge of the table so I could grab it quite quick.
Yeah.
So the torn edge was kind of off the table.
Right, got you.
And then my cousin asked if she could see another trick. So I asked her to hand me her coaster.
Okay.
So she passed me her coaster, full coaster. And I was just talking like, oh, I don't really know what... where I'm going with this, you know. So whilst I'm talking, I'm moving my hands, and I just switch them.
Nice.
So in her eyes, she's handed me a full coaster. Everyone saw that it was a full coaster. And then do the angle Z effect, and, you know. Yeah.
And the revelation, do they freak? Like...
Yeah. But you know what was interesting as well? Literally 15 minutes after... my sister was telling someone about it, and she misremembered it completely, and it made me sound amazing.
Did she say you restored it back together?
No, she said, I asked my cousin to rip it, and then it disappeared and appeared in the order of service. I was like, yeah, I did. Yeah, 100%. That's what I did.
I suppose, like, if you use words and phrases that can be jumbled up in miscall, like you handed me the mat to be torn up.
Yeah.
So you're not saying I tore up. You handed me the beer coaster to be torn up. So it sounds almost like you tore it up.
Mm.
But you handed me the beer coaster to be torn up. That corner then vanished in my hand. And because you're emphasizing now it's in your hand, like in my hand, it makes you kind of subconsciously think, oh, it wasn't in your hand a moment ago, so then a few minutes down the line, after like the, you know, when people are recalling things, I remember the buzzword. She picked up the coaster. It was torn up, and then the corner vanished in his hand. You can use little ploys like that to recalibrate the brain a little bit.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And you know what always surprises me whenever it happens is once that part finished and we went to like a couple of different pubs. We were in this local pub. It's got a huge beer garden, like. Mm. Absolutely massive benches everywhere. It's like you're just in the middle of a field. It's a great atmosphere. And at that point, I kind of moved into more billet stuff.
Yeah. These videos were posted on your Instagram to Synchromystic Magic, right?
Yeah. Well, just a couple of the reactions. I'm not going to post, like, you know.
Yeah.
full
sorry
stuff. But when people asked about some of the things afterwards, they just didn't mention the billets, which I love.
Yeah.
They just get, because they get hidden, and the, you know, the time misdirection, whatever the peak is, the billets go away, they get ripped up, they go in a wallet and get hidden somewhere.
What peak are you generally using with your billets?
I like wallet peaks. I know that a lot of people have got strong opinions on them, but it's super basic. And people worry about the justification. I don't think there's any issue. Should we put this out the way? You know what? You can keep hold of the wallet.
Yeah.
So what if it's in my wallet?
You know. I'll never forget, you know, I'm you know me, I'm such a, I try and make all of my magic just seem real, completely real. I try and get rid of anything, you know, that could be called back upon in the mind of the spectator. But I'll never forget, I went to stay with Matthew Wright, to film Matthew Wright in his magic bar in Spain, in Malaga. Malaga, Mallorca. I remember the name. And he went out. It was his Vader wallet. It's an incredible wallet of his. And he was doing loads of performances. And we went to this one couple, and the guy was cold as ice, like complete skeptic. And he was like, you know, just skeptical as anything, like didn't believe whatsoever. And then, so he had him write down a name, his daughter's name, I think it was, and put it, and Matt put it straight in the Vader wallet, peeked it, put the wallet down. And I was like, right, this is the guy that's going to go, yeah, mate, I just wrote it down. It's in your wallet. You looked at it. That's the type of guy he was. No, this dude was absolutely speechless, completely speechless. And I think he gets really close to, it's in the trailer, and he's very, very close to tears with it.
Mm.
And it was like, what? Like, again, it's my like magician, idiot brain thinking there's no way they're gonna, but they do, you know, they completely.
Dude, they do. You can do the same routine to like 10 people in a row, and if they're into it, they're into it. I pretty much did that in the beer garden, because somehow someone saw that I was playing with cards and stuff. And so I think someone had quite a loud reaction to something. So some people walked over.
Yeah.
And this guy was asking me, oh, can you show me something? Can you show me something? I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Come over onto this bench over here. And I like asking people what they want to see. I'm not very accomplished when it comes to a lot of things, but whatever they say, I will usually try and make something up on the spot.
Good.
It's never going to be amazing. It's never going to be world-class, but I like to kind of give myself a challenge. I also like that environment. I like rough pubs. Mm-hmm. I'm quite all right at handling myself when people are challenging.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's a fun environment to, they're the best type of people to win over, I think. Because they'll be so much louder.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't stand an upper class pub. You know, if you've got to wear shoes to go in somewhere, guaranteed I ain't going there.
No,
when I used to drink anyway.
So I was just doing some basic stuff, and then I did I can't even remember what the routine was, but he was thinking of someone that was special to him. This guy who'd walked over and asked if I could show him some stuff. He was thinking of someone special to him. It was literally just a wallet peek. But then I gave the wallet to him and told him to keep hold of it, hold it between his hands. And he'd written down the name Elijah. Oh, sorry, Lloyd, am I boring you?
No, Bo just sent me a photo of himself in his new hot tub, and I'm so jealous.
Bo, you...
So, it's such a sexy photo, too.
I'll save that for later. But he wrote down the name Elijah. And so in the back of my head, I was like, where's the presentation going with this? It can be as simple as I want, but what, like, is there anything else I could do? Is there anything else I can add to it? So I just revealed it as slow as possible. And when it's a name, I do try and go down the avenue of intuiting who the name, you know, who it is to them.
Yeah.
So I was thinking Elijah is a fairly young sounding name. I would imagine it's not his granddad, his dad.
Good.
I was like, he looks about the right age to have a kid, but he also didn't seem like the type to be married or anything. So I was like, I'm pretty sure this is a kid with someone like who's not a partner anymore. I don't know why. I just got that impression. So it just kind of slowly went down that route about it being someone who's really special to them. Do you not see them as often as you wish you could see them? And revealed it was this, revealed the name was Elijah. And he absolutely loved it. And, you know, he posted it on his Instagram and stuff and asked for my name on Instagram. When I looked at it, it was this like Call of Duty Warzone streamer with 30,000 followers who's like, I don't know, Twitch big. It was weird.
Wow.
And then, so a couple of his friends were coming over and asking for stuff. And I did feel a bit bad when one guy started crying, just to do with revealing the name of, like, you know, a nan who passed away. But that was another one where it was intuition. He wrote down the name Dorothy. And I was thinking, like, well, obviously it's an older lady just from the name alone. I'm pretty sure it's either an older lady or a baby because Dot has kind of come back into fashion a little bit.
Yeah.
So I just like worked my way around that, kind of intuitively figured out that it was an older lady. So I was like, it's got to be his nan. I don't think it's going to be an auntie's name. Maybe at a push, whatever, we'll go with it. And I was thinking, is there anything else I can pick up there? And I was like, oh, I think there is. I think there is with Dorothy. Some names you could tell. I said to him, the person you're thinking of, did different people in the family called her different names, didn't they? She had one nickname for someone else. Like someone else had one nickname for her that was completely different to what her friends would call her. And then ended up revealing that, you know, like it's like Dot, Dorothy. But wow. That was the part that stuck with him for some reason. He was like, my mom called her Dorothy and I called her Dot.
Because it's the part that wasn't written down.
Yeah. that's the bit.
It's the part you couldn't have known.
Yeah.
Essentially. Even though, you know, well, no, logic doesn't dictate. Because maybe you could be like, nope, everyone called her Dorothy strictly, you know.
You can work your way around that. You don't know all her friends.
Exactly,
know?
Yeah.
I would say I think she used to go by Dot and maybe she didn't like it anymore. Or I don't know. I would figure a way
out. So what, this guy cried over it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was sweet though. Had a nice hug afterwards. The other kind of intuitive one was a girl who had written down the name Zuri, like Z-U-R-I. And I was like, I do not think that's a family member. I heard someone say her name earlier. I don't think it was like a foreign sounding name or like there was any kind of, maybe it was like an older granddad from Poland or something, I don't know. I just didn't get that impression. And I was like, I in the back of my head, I don't know why, I was like, it's a dog.
No,
it's got to be a dog's name or a pet's name or something.
Oh, mate, you're barking.
No. So like, I was like asking questions around this and I was like, it's not someone who's drinking here with you. I don't think they would be able to do that. And she was like, no. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm onto it then. And so I just said to her, like, what kind of animal is Zuri? And she shit herself. It was great. One of the best reactions.
Wow. I think that's on your Insta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a question then. Well, two questions I want to know. Which effect or piece that you did give you, were you like, oh, wow, I never thought this would play so well? And the second one, which is a much larger question, is do you categorize the difference in reaction from a magic trick to a piece of mentalism like that? Like, do you think they are even seen as two different entities by the audience? Like, that was, he just did some magic tricks and then he's reading, you know, he's psychic, like completely different worlds.
Yeah, it's super different because a couple of times someone would come over and say, can you show me something? And I'd start to pull out the card box and they'd say, no, like the mind reading stuff.
Huh. What was more popular?
The billet stuff.
Wow. Interesting.
Well, that also might hinge on the fact that I'm not very accomplished at cards.
I don't think so.
The simplest stuff works with layman with cards anyway. I don't think if I had shown anyone like a triumph or something, I don't think they would have been too bothered.
Yeah.
It's that's the stuff that we like share with each other with other magicians.
Yeah. It's the stuff that people do like it. There's a time and place.
Yeah.
Of course. And it's more, I think it's more for like, when you're at like a mega party environment or people are in like you got to read the room sometimes. If you're like, I'm guessing that funeral, people were mellowed out a bit more. It wasn't like a wedding environment. I find that, I mean, I do more magic tricks as opposed to mentalism at when I'm at funerals. But I do know like the feel of them. If especially if the word's got around that you're doing stuff like that, then suddenly people want to see that. Then you're going to be out of the gates of the races. But what was the thing that you did that got the maybe a new piece or a new trick? What did you do that was like, oh wow, this is now going to stay in my funeral set?
I didn't really attempt anything new. You know, it went on that long that it was like, I'm just going to keep switching between different effects and just change the presentation.
Yeah,
even just by a tiny little bit. This time I'll do a two card Monty, but it's under the table. But whatever it was, it just changed by a tiny little bit. And one of my distant cousins said, it's the wallet. And I was like, it's not the wallet. He was like, no, it's the wallet. You've got like some kind of electronic thing in the wallet that's
giving you. Next time, peek it and put in his wallet. No, just keep it in any wallet.
So he said it to me twice, and I was like, oh, okay, fine. I'll do it without the wallet. And he was like, I'm not on them business cards either. I bet you can see through them. I was like, oh, okay. When someone challenges you, I think it's best to go simple.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, find me a piece of paper. You find the pen, and go in the bathroom and write something. Fold it up and bring her out. And then it almost shames me to admit it, but I will shamelessly do it. Senator, man. Senator all day.
Nothing
long.
Wrong with a senator all day. At all.
Okay. If you're going to challenge me that much, go in the bathroom, write something, fold it, bring it out. You know what? Rip it up. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm. And that's just do like a one ahead routine with some piece of paper. Yeah. You know, mentally for something.
Yeah. Oh, I did do a one ahead routine actually, but it was the most basic kind. It was with a card, a forced card for the last one, which is disappointing. But it was all I had at hand then.
But no one even cares, right, about that.
No,
unless you're in like a room full of like stoic, sober people who are like, okay, is this man for real? You're not. You're people just kind of there. They weren't looking for you to actually have psychic powers for real. I don't think.
No. Well, some people are, but the.
Yeah, true. So I was thinking, I've done magic at a lot of funerals. You just did loads of magic at a funeral. Should we, a little brainstorm session, potentially think of a trick to do at a funeral?
Yeah.
Like specifically for a funeral?
Yes.
And let me tie it in with something that I was thinking about. And let me just read my notes that I wrote on it as well. Because... I was doing a little of this. So I don't mind this being a card trick for once.
Yes.
All right. Cause I think it's sort of easy to like rope a lot more people in.
Yeah.
As opposed to do that. And I wrote down a lot of creators in magic are entirely adverse to card magic. So a lot of people who are creative within magic don't like card magic. I'm kind of one of them to an extent, right? When I perform. And I think this is because they're afraid of like mediocrity. Or that the card trick that they do is not memorable enough. So they're worried that because they see themselves as creative, if they were to perform something that could be seen being performed by another magician, or that the spectator was like, oh yeah, there was a guy doing card tricks, and someone said, what was the card trick? And they're like, oh, I don't know, he was just doing card tricks.
Yeah.
Then that is almost like to a creative, it's a death. It's a death to them. Well, what's the phrase? But it's anyway, it's a fear.
Death sentence. So yeah.
What is it?
It just said death sentence.
Yeah, it's a death sentence. So the thing is, so many card tricks, whilst in the moment, are easy to differentiate. But like weeks and years and months down the line, they become indistinguishable from one another. So for example, if you do like a sandwich card trick, you're finding their card within two sandwich cards. And then if you were to do a card reveal later on where you change a double lift into their card, you're now picking the card, which in the moment are two very different tricks. But when somebody like a layperson tries to recall this hours down the line, maybe even minutes, look at that angle zero performance you did. in their mind, they just remember you finding their card.
Yeah.
However you did it, you found their card, right? So obviously I've written down here that the cure is to create a card trick that can be summed up not in a sentence but in a buzz phrase. So I was saying to you, like, just before we started, like, and I said, actually, I will just continue this on air, but it was like either Vernon or Marlo, and I always mix them up, obviously. Said that the best tricks can be summarized in a sentence, but this is like, you know, decades ago that was said, and we're the MTV generation, people's attention spans are TikTok lengths. So now I think that more so a memorable card trick isn't the ones that can be summed up in a sentence, but can be summed up in a phrase, a buzzword, or two to three words at most, because the world's changed, right? It's no arguing that. So what I'm thinking is, like, should we try to create a funeral-centric card trick, or a trick that's okay to do in a funeral? Maybe you incorporates the element of what's there. Is very different from other card tricks. So it's not just, and then he found my card.
Yeah.
Or then they were all the right way. You know? So it takes one of these, like, it adds a completely new element. Not completely new, and there's nothing new under the sun. So whatever we come up with probably will have been explored and done before.
Yeah.
But something when they remember back, if they've seen 100 card tricks throughout their entire life, this one isn't the one where it's like everything else. And then the last thing I wrote is that you could this play to the strength of it being live, because so much magic obviously is seen on video now more than at any other point in history. Magic is experienced not live, which is fair to say, right? Even since the inception of the television.
Yeah.
So what are elements that could be combined into this trick that could only be done live? Or could only be experienced and remembered because it was live.
Right. Got ya.
Yeah. So basically the major cornerstone of the effect, or the major plot hook of the effect, or the reveal, the moment of magic, is so different that, like, in the moment it could be, oh yeah, but he found my card in amongst all the, you know, it's now da da da. But it's like, no, like the whole, every card, everything vanished. You know, yeah. Something like that, but also we're trying to create. So let's just go a bit more. Maybe we forget method for a while and just think what would be the best experience for all of them.
Okay. Okay, cool. So the first thing that came to my mind was whenever you do the whole, you know, the card that they're holding on to is switch places with the card that you have.
Right.
People really, really love that. And they say, can you show me it again? Can you show me it again? I love that moment when they turn over the card, or you turn over your card, turn over the cards together, and they've switched places. Like that very specific moment, I absolutely love. And I'm wondering if there is a way to have that moment where... it's not that trick. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, I know. I know what you mean. So they turn it over, and maybe as they turn it over, it becomes a clear card.
Mm.
Like, I turn it over, now it's see through. What the hell? Which is very Omnidex style.
Yeah.
Do you know where my head was going? So you can kind of think. Like, I ended up having to go out the house, so I couldn't think anymore. But I was writing down my notes. But it was like, I was thinking, what would I say as I'm starting to do this trick? So forget what I don't know what the effect is, but I would imagine I would be sat there at the bar, at the table with a bunch of family, maybe some friends of the family, but more so family members at a funeral, right? And acquaintances and things. So I'd imagine saying, okay, I'm going to show you something because it's so rare that we're all together.
Yeah.
That was like the first thought that came to my mind. No effect, no end point. But just the fact that, like, it's such a shame that we only ever see each other at funerals or weddings. And in my family, we have a lot more funerals than weddings.
Mm.
So that hook alone was like, what can I do? What, I have no more than that, right? But where could we go from that? So, you know, I was thinking, like, is it that, so we do something with all of the suit, or, you know, all of one suit to get all the hearts out? We say, like, this is a family of cards. Or do we take out the Jack, Queen, King? Because that's which is kind of a two-story based for me, but something along those lines. Just that I think that if you can be if you could be authentic in like your interaction to like ring in the effect. Also, it's like it's one of those phrases like it's almost like talking about the weather in a way in a funeral. Like that's one of those things like oh we have to see each other more often. We only ever catch up at funerals.
Okay, right? I have one idea. It's probably already been done before, but if you are sitting with four different people at a table, and so this is the effect without the method, and the method's super easy. You show them the cards face up and you ask each of them to pick a card, put the cards back on the table. You talk through whatever your kind of little tale is that you're telling. And then when they turn the cards over, it's got each of their names written on it. And you show them the back. Cool. You show them the back of the other cards and it's there's no names written anywhere else. Obviously, super, super easy. You just do a deck switch. The first deck, each quarter, the names written all of them. And you're asking them to pick cards, going between them, just through the banks. And you could have key cards in between to say, after this one, all of them have got Deborah's name on the back. After this one, all of them have got Carl's name on the back. And then just quickly switch it whilst you're in conversation. And so that would be each of them has picked the card. And
it's I like that because their name has appeared on a card.
Yeah.
Or not appeared, but you potentially predicted that they would pick that card. It would very much be their card. I was in my head going directions of like, I wonder the next time that we all meet, which of us won't be sitting at this table? Or at what point, you know, well, fuck it. Right?
Yeah.
But you know, you say we've been doing this all our lives. If it's the family, right? If you're in the family together, we've been meeting like this all our lives. Sometimes at a wedding, mostly at funerals. One day, in the future, hopefully, not today, we'll be sitting at this table and one of us will be gone.
Mm.
So then I'd say it's quite a scary thought, but if you embrace it, like it's only human nature. And the person before us, the person we're here to celebrate today, they had to embrace it. And the time before they had to embrace it. So we're going to do this. All of us are going to pick a card out to represent ourselves. So, and I'm just, I don't know, this is not pre-thought, so I'm just going to go off and you just tell me if there's any better ideas coming along. But we'll all take a card to represent ourselves. So 1, 2, 3, 4, say, right? I wouldn't take one. Well, maybe I would say, look, I can, it could be me. I don't know. So, but you guys can pick a card for me. And now we're going to take these four cards. We're going to shuffle them up, mix them up. Because I don't know, the circle of life is strange or intertwined and whatever. I don't know. Please don't shoot me for being here.
First drafts, it's okay.
Yeah, first draft. and then you say, maybe you say, look, we're going to play a game with a coin, right? Like a totem. So there's two people on this side of the table, two people on this side of the table. Which side's going to be heads and tails? So maybe you spin the coin, right? And someone can choose heads or tails. It lands heads, and whoever's on the head side of the table is safe. Now you're left with two people. You say, so one of us is heads, one of us is tails, you choose, or one of you two are heads, one of you two is tails, spin the coin. It lands. Now say it's heads again. And the person who's heads again, every time it lands on the same side that's called, that person's safe. So now it's one person's not safe. So this is unbelievable. It's so sad. And maybe we should all toast to you, like we would when we were there. And then you take, so that happens. Maybe there's some really fun interaction here. I think this is quite fun so far, right?
Yeah.
And then the three cards that were on the table, you now just drop 1, 2, 3. There's the four cards, sorry, one of them's gone. And inside the box, the card box, not the coffin, but the box is the card. That could be pretty cool, actually, couldn't it?
Yeah, no, it could be cool.
That's actually a really, like, I mean, it's a bit morbid, but they would never, ever forget that as, imagine that you were trying to recall that a year from now. I don't think they would say that he picked my card and he found it, or he made my card disappear so much. It was like, oh, we played a game of death. And
I think
I actually wrote down the name.
Presentation would be remembered.
In my notes, there is. Let me try to hide that bit there. Trick of death.
Nice.
So maybe that could be the trick of potentially something like that, you know?
I like that.
If there's five of you, you can do it very Biddle-esque.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could have a duplicate in the box, right? So you just force the dupe any way you want. Then you get like four cards as five. You can get rid of all the nonsense of it, like being stolen out. So you show the four cards as five, replace them down. Then you go through the whole charade of somehow forcing. Maybe it doesn't have to be a coin. I like the coin element because it's very organic.
I like the coin. Yeah. Yeah. And it could easily be, you know, you're switching it out with you're choosing the order that it's done in, right?
Yeah. What if it's this? Dude, oh.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
Go on. No, go on.
No, I was just going to say, so obviously just that, you know, a double-sided coin until the last one, which is the other double-sided coin. If you're not doing the last one, it's just whatever.
There's actually a way to force away a coin will land every time when you spin it. It's to do with how you tilt it as you spin.
Yeah.
But what if it's actually whoever you will say, I'd say, well, okay, but this will be quite cool. You say, you're going to make a decision in a moment, and that decision is going to impact what happens next. So can I borrow a coin from someone, or can someone get a coin out? So they do.
Right.
Do the effect, right? So you do the thing. You go through, safe, not safe, safe, not safe. And you end up, one person is now, quote unquote, dead, right? And you reveal, as you deal the four cards down, one card's gone. Inside the box is the person who's, who was unlucky and died, right? But you close the box back up and you say, the crazy thing is this, is that I told you that we'd be making a decision that would impact this further on. Whoever decided to take the coin out is the person who decided to effectively roll the dice. And fortune favors the brave. Now you turn the four cards over. They're four completely different cards, right? Maybe they're like very obviously different. It doesn't matter what they are. They could just be blank cards, whatever, but just different cards.
Yeah.
And now when you tip the cards back out of the box, the four cards that were here on the table are inside the box. Or the one card that was in the box is now on the table. It's the only card in the pile. And inside the box are four cards. So there's a kicker, like you say, today you, tomorrow me type effect.
Yeah, that's cool. Obviously, it's not the type of presentation you do at a funeral, but a separate presentation for it, that would totally work as like a pirate trick with the black spot and a little doubloon and like old cards.
A balloon?
Doubloon, like the big old coins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah, dude.
That'd be a cool theme trick. Not at a funeral. Unless they were like a sailor or a pirate.
Yeah. And also, like, the method could be, I have a fairly simple method. There's a few different methods you could go for it. One of them could be that in the box is four cards and the bottom card. So people can't see at home. So say you've got five cards in the box, right? The first card that you're going to reveal, though, has a blank back. And on the face, it's got a bit of double stick tape. So when you open the box, you just flash, and that pile of five cards can look like one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, when you close the box and turn it over, that will stick to the box with a white back showing. And now you have four cards that can be brought out and show the box empty. So that's how you make the cards change. One card vanish and it become four cards, right? And then all you really need to do is you force all the cards on everyone. So you can just do a cross cut force, say, take whatever five cards you've cut to. You then take five cards as four, but you can switch them. So you show five cards here, do it like a four for four switch, right? So a five for four switch.
Yeah.
And take them, miscount the five, one, two, three, four, five, drop them on the table, get the card that's going to be forced into the top position of the deck. Then you can show, look, there's only four cards here now, one, two, three, four. They see those. As everyone's looking inside the box, you can just ditch off three as you square them back up. Now you have one card on the table, you snap. It's now the card that was in the box and all. Yeah, that could be the way it's done.
Yeah. No, I think that might be the best way to do it. It's pretty simple.
Keep it completely simple.
Yeah.
The more interesting thing to me, though, is the premise, right?
Yeah.
One, isn't it sad that we only ever meet at weddings and funerals, and more often than not, that it's funerals? So obviously, the point where the magic has been asked to be done, right? So then you say, you know, one day we will be here, but not all of us, and sitting around the same table. One of us won't be here. You know, we don't know who it's going to be, but I always think it's interesting to just see how that would play out or who it could be. So if you're interested, let's play a little game of death. Yeah, I love it. It's quite cool, isn't it?
I really like that. You know what? We should do a book, just funeral games for funeral tricks. And it's just all funeral
dead
stuff.
Good magic.
Dead good magic would be sick. I really
killer magic.
Really like... Oh yes, magic to die for.
Putting the fun in funerals. Magic to die for.
I was just thinking then, like, for some reason today, stuff keeps just popping into my head fully formed. I don't know if you've kind of feeling a similar.
I told you I had a dream about a TLR method last night, fully formed. So yeah, I'm with you.
So I was just thinking then, I was trying to think of just a super fairly small trick with a bigger with a decent reveal. So super basic, but the reveal's really good.
Okay.
So you have someone choose a card, and it's a funeral. The plot, like the presentation, would be funeral based. Someone chooses a card. You slide it into the card box, and you say, "Okay, you've chosen this card. You know, it goes off into here. Blah blah blah. This is the coffin. Whatever. Wouldn't it be nice if this represents Charlie, who's just died. I don't know. Fuck it all. It depends how grim you want to be. Wouldn't it be nice if we looked over at the bar and he wasn't in his coffin? He was drinking at the bar. It's a nice thought, you know, whatever. Goes in. Something else is said. And then you open the box and the card has disappeared.
Oh, wow.
Because it'd just be, you force the card and this is just a little sliver of it.
For everyone that can't see at home, who's listening on the streaming service, Jake's just torn the top fifth of a card off, and he's poked it into like the slot of the card box. So it looks like the box is closed, but it's sticking out a little bit.
Yeah. So it would be the way you hold it. It would be tight in place, sticking out. Yeah. And then when you're pushing it, you let go. It'd have elastic bands that take it all the way to the bottom of the box, where it'd be blank. The back of it would be black. They're blank. So the box looks completely empty. You know, if it was here.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So you could put it where the barcode is.
Yeah. And then you point at the bar and you've already put a full version of the card leaning up against the pint or something.
That's fun. That's super fun.
You've asked the barmaid if they can pin the card to like the backboard. You know, this was Charlie's favorite card. Can we just put it whilst we're drinking? Can you pin it to the backboard?
So what if it was preloaded under someone's glass or under their beer mat? Mm. And then you say, like, Charlie, he would have much more preferred to have been sat around this table drinking with us, celebrating with us, as opposed to being inside the box.
Yeah.
So now you say, you know, we're going to pick a drink for Charlie. Digital force bag it, and then you say,
You're like,
it's Guinness. You say, oh, Guinness, you would have loved to have a Guinness. Well, since he's not here, go ahead, pick up your Guinness and take a drink for Charlie. You chose it. Picks it up, and underneath it is Charlie's card, who's now not in the box.
I love that. Okay,
who else can we kill in your family so you can go to another funeral to test this stuff out?
I'm purposely picking names of people like there aren't in my family or are very distant, but I really like this idea. Can we just do a funeral book with like 10 effects in?
Dude, I'd love to do this.
We've already came up with three.
Yeah. The Charlie trick is great.
It's
one for the road.
Oh, yeah.
What do they call it when you have one when you have a drink to celebrate someone at a funeral? There's a phrase for it, isn't it?
Pour one out for my homies.
Pour one out, yeah. Something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
The dead man's drink.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
These tricks are cool. Yeah, if we come up with 10 tricks, this would be
easy,
great.
Easy. Yeah.
I mean, it's cool for everyone to listen at home how these tricks are forming based off like conversation, not from. So pick a card, right? Because look, the Charlie trick, Doesn't matter about a card being picked. In the trick that I said, it's not really about the cards they've chosen. It's more about the game of death.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. I think that's much more engaging. I imagine we haven't tried these tricks out.
No, no. We've got to wait until a funeral to road test them.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but so I like the idea of there being some really fairly presentation, not heavy, because it's not like a heavy thing, but I like, okay, there's four people sitting around a table. Should we like share this little 5 minutes thing?
Yeah.
And I like the idea of having them options and then having the very quick, like, just put a car behind the bar. I've got my gimmick. Okay, do this. That's a big reaction for nothing. Like, they'll remember that the card disappeared and it's behind the bar and you haven't done much.
Yeah, yes, it's exactly. It's a big, it's like light and dark, isn't it? If you are going to do more than just like one piece, like you need to have something which is the picks the mood back up and gets everyone remembering that you are doing magic and fun as well.
Dude, yeah. Imagine doing that, right? Any of those tricks, imagine doing. But it's in that same situation where someone says, will you show us a trick? And you're saying no. You're sitting at the table for 10 minutes saying no. And they keep asking and you go, all right, whatever. How have you done that to them? How has that been accomplished? You're telling them you don't want to do tricks because you're at a funeral. And you do it and then it's over there.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much fun you could have. Not fun, but like my brain gets going when you start to think about things that you're into as well. Like take this like home with you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
or keep hold of this until the next funeral. Imagine this for a trick where you'd said someone, I'm going to write down the next person's funeral will be at. And I'm going to place it in this envelope. And you have to swear that you won't open it. Right. And maybe it's like the next time we meet, it's going to be at a wedding or a funeral.
Yes.
And so you say, I'm going to write down either wedding or funeral, and you just bring it along wherever it is, right? But you have to promise me, I'll text you to remember to bring it if I can, whatever the next event is. But
it's an ambigram.
An ambigram, yeah. or you use friction pen, you know, so it says, wedding in black ink and then crossed out in friction ink with the word funeral written in the corner.
Yeah.
So you write, say, I'm going to change my mind, right? And then when they bring it, you say, look, maybe they bring it, you say, and if it's right, they can bring it out. And you say, look, I did change my mind. And it's maybe you don't do it with the room, but it says funeral, right? And I was correct. Or if it's a wedding, you say, oh, I'm maybe like, you know, you either say, look, just to show everyone, this envelope sealed. If I use my lighter, you can't see through it. It's legit. Like, and now you've burnt off the evidence and it just says wedding.
Yeah. Super simple. Or even just a two-way envelope.
Yeah. But they have to keep hold of it. Would that work?
Yeah, it'd work. I mean, it looked like it was incorporated into the design. Maybe, I don't know. But you have a little subtle cue which side's which.
Yeah, true.
You know, if it was one of the envelopes that opens long ways.
Yeah.
I think that'd look okay.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah, perfect. You just mark with a dot so you know which way is up for funeral because it's up to heaven. I don't know what the moniker would be, but that'd be so. Yeah, before we go, I'm going to hand you a piece of paper sealed in an envelope. It's going to either say wedding or funeral. Neither of us know the next event that we'll be at, but you have to bring it.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm right.
Yeah. You know. Man, you know what? We're on fire today. I'm usually a fairly humble person, but this is sick.
This is some fun stuff, isn't it?
Yeah,
this is some really fun stuff.
I really like that. I'm gonna try the one with the everyone's name written on the back as well. I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, that's really good, isn't it? Because you can. It's not like a wedding where it's like, oh, he must have known everyone. Like, you do know everyone's name, so don't hide it, right?
Yeah.
So, like, before I came, I wrote everybody's name on these cards. Because you can know everyone, or as many names as I could remember on these cards. I wonder if you did something like, but there's one card without a name on it. Because we are a family, one of us will have a baby in the future. One of us already pregnant, maybe. 50% of the people here could be pregnant, I think. I don't know. Biologically, men and women. Why don't, you know, whoever you think might have a baby next, should we try and play a game of, it's been quite sad and dark up until this point, so let's try and think about the future. Let's play a game of, let's think about who's going to have a baby, or if the next person has a baby, is going to be a boy or a girl, and what the baby's name will be.
I really like what the baby's name is.
Yeah.
I really like that.
And then you say, look, we can't wait 9 months to find out the answer. So let's pick somebody who's got kids, so they're not going to be any offense taken, and say, look, if you were to have another child, if you ever think about it, if you would have another baby, or maybe you can ask someone else here, like, oh, if maybe your own parents, what was some of the alternate names for me going to be? So you know, because I know it can be a hard question to ask some people if they're trying for children and things. So you could just find someone who's okay to answer it. But you say, look, so let's just, like, it's been a lot about death today, a lot of grieving and sadness. Let's look to the future. Let's, and you have some fun. Draw a little baby, decide whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. And then they're going to think of a name for this imaginary baby on the other side of the room. And so are you. So what name do you think the baby is? Okay. And then there's a bunch of methods to do this. You can do like some time dual reality type things going on. You can force the name on the person on the other side of the room and then force the name on this person, or you can get this person's name and then force it on the other person later on. But say, keep that name to yourself. Don't let anybody else see it. That's your private name. But later on, towards the end of the night, and then you secretly go and force it on the person over there and say, when the time's right, go and ask them, what would they call a baby? What name would they give? You know?
Sick. Sick. I also don't mind the version where you do wait 9 months. you give them like a little bottle with the name written in it. 9 months later, it's just like the easiest switch right in front of them.
You know, because it's family, if there's somebody who's pregnant, you could go, because it's family, like, right, I know this is super top secret information normally, but I want to do the best trick ever. I want so and so to try and predict what you're going to call your baby. So can you, like, I'm telling you, I'm going to make him pick that name, but no one else, sworn to secrecy. Can we do this? Because it'll be such a fun moment when it comes out later on. Okay, yeah, no worries. After the baby's born, you can reveal it. Cool. So then they tell you the name, you go and force it, usually like DFB or whatever, or with the deck of cards. Like, we're going to add one new name to this deck. There's 51 cards. This is the new one, but you don't know what it is. So then pick it, and yeah, you hold on to that card, and we'll come back to you 9 months' time.
That's fun, man. I really, really like that, because it's like, we've got a couple of tricks about death and a couple about life.
Yeah. You could, oh my god, with the terms of, with the funeral service, the service card, you could do a book test, you could do toxic forces with the date of births in there.
Yeah.
Reveal them.
It might be getting a little bit too grim, but I know I've done it before. I don't know if you've done it before. I've been the one to design the order of service before, and no one really knows that.
I've read a few eulogies. I've done a couple. Yeah. I've written them, obviously.
I could totally hide something in an order of service.
Yeah, in like a cross stick.
Yeah. Photoshopped something into the background of a photo. Maybe a bit too far.
Well, no. My granddad played at his own funeral.
Yeah.
A secret recording of a song. Him playing it on keyboard, funnily enough, and no one knew. And then as we were bringing him down, they played it.
Oh, that's sweet, man.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but you could totally, like, if you got the order of service, you could write down all the long words in there into a crib, then use a progressive anagram generator like Maxim Hellier's, which is free online.
Mm-hmm.
And say to someone, look, take the order of service, think of any song, think of any long, difficult word in that song, don't tell me what it is, and then just reveal it. All you have to do, there wouldn't be that many first letters to fish through, because there's hardly any, but it feels really fair.
Yeah. I mean, you could build in as many as you want. You could have the ninth word be something, the 37th word be something, the third line, seventh word be something. You build in every kind of force.
Well, you know, a really popular question that I know teenagers always ask, because we all did it, was what song would you want at your funeral?
Yeah.
You must have asked or been asked that
Yeah. Elton John, I'm Still Standing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Highway to Hell for me.
Oh, dude. Funnily enough, that got played at the funeral because my dad was DJing it. My dad used to be a DJ. He still DJs every now and again, but at family stuff instead of house warehouse raves and stuff.
Yeah.
And he just put this playlist on. Like, five songs in, Another One Bites the Dust came on, and he was just sitting there.
So good. So good. I've been to almost 40 funerals. I've been to so many funerals. And
not to brag.
It's one of the craziest things. I've been to almost 40 funerals now, and I've heard some crazy songs being played to them. A lot of people have White Flag by Dido. That's one of the most popular songs ever at funerals for me. But the craziest one was Animaniacs theme tune.
Oh, my little Scousers, dude. I love them guys.
Yeah, I love the Animaniacs. A friend of mine tragically passed away in a motorbike accident really young. We were in college together. And that's the song he had. But on that, it's a fun question, isn't it? Like, to say, right, look, what song would you... And you could just use, like, Earworm by Mark Kirstein. Yeah. To reveal it,
Sam Sugarman, you put out a shortcut.
Did he? Oh, did yeah, he on Saturday Sorcery on Murphy's this weekend.
Yeah.
What's that? So they think of the song and they write it in your notes, don't they?
I think so. Happens? Yeah. It's similar to Earworm, and then it plays or it redirects and starts playing. I think.
Yeah, perfect. It could even just be that you peek it and you write it down and reveal it secretly. You whisper it to them.
Yeah. Or you cue it with the DJ and you say, can you play this next?
Oh,
and then go sit down.
Oh,
you text it. Yeah, well, I could do it because it was my dad. I could just text him and say, play this next.
Dude. That's so good. Okay, there's nothing really better than that, is there? There really? No.
I don't think so. I
don't think they have them anymore, but my even the bar that I'm thinking of doesn't have it. But there used to be old CD jukeboxes where you type in like B4 disc and the position, and it would go all the CDs, and you would choose the song track 27 or track, you know what I mean? But yeah. It would be so cool if someone picked a song and then you were like, and you revealed like B427 and it was exactly where it was.
I know, that'd be quite cool.
It's an interesting topic for a lot of people, right? It tells you kind of what they think about themselves. Maybe you could even do a reading from it. So you say, like, just think about your song. And then you, from there, based off it, you could do a reading about them. And then reveal the song or not reveal it.
I really like that. I definitely really like that. And if I know that there's actually a few people who listen to this podcast who are from Liverpool. And they know how good the jukebox is in the Swan on Wood Street.
Yeah.
The best jukebox in existence. Just all Metallica and Ozzy. And yeah.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
We have got like 7 tricks already here.
I know.
We've written the book, Lloyd. What'd you say?
No, I'm trying to think of what other things are like not... What's not the word? The word's not commonplace, but it's like the topic of conversation at a funeral. Yeah.
Yeah.
You talk about obviously the person. You talk about we only ever see each other at funerals. Or what song would you have at your funeral?
Yeah. Yeah.
What other things come up? Something to do with the flowers? It's going to be some cool effect with the flowers.
Maybe. Flowers are boring.
No, but you have the arrangements, and that, like, they would say, like, mam in Wales, or dad, da, pa, grandpa, nan, things like that. You could say to someone, you know, I don't know.
I'm thinking of the Lloyd Barnes special where you turn over the flowers and it says King of Clubs.
No, but even just, you could do something crazy, which is, I don't know, say you pick out like a white rose, right? You bring a white rose with you and you place that white rose into just the pet, just the head of the white rose. You place it into a box, like a jewelry box, okay? And you pick someone who, you wait for someone to say they'd have a white rose, right? You say, I'd have a wreath made up of white roses or something, or fairly like, you know, common flower, something along these lines anyway. You know, maybe this certain people in the family will have their favorite flowers, right? Yeah. So you, it's not hard information to find out. So you could say to someone, imagine that you were, it was, I don't know, someone's funeral, but you had a nickname for them that you wanted to keep the characters short to save on the price of flowers. No, but then you'd say, like, I want you to imagine that name, you know, just peek it off a billet, and then you reveal the name, and they're like, oh my gosh, say it's their dog called Flip. Flip, yeah. or their fish called Flip of the fish or something. So like, so you say, then you reveal, I'm so sorry. I hope this day never comes, but my heartfelt apologies for when it does. When it does come time to say goodbye to Flipper the fish. But to make it easier, here's, you know, remember him with this white rose, and you just bring out this white rose from somewhere.
I like that.
Or imagine writing their name. I don't know. Maybe this is too up in the air, but.
You could say, you know, when you go to a funeral, I don't know if this is true, but I'm just going to make it up. When you go to a florist before a funeral, they have, much like paint aisles in B&Q, they have swatches with all of the different flowers on. And then you could do something with that if you know which flowers people like, or even if you've just asked them beforehand, what flowers do you want at your funeral? Three different people. And then you're just forcing it on them.
Yeah. What could you do with the a big one is what's the funeral attire? Is it smart or colors normally, right? Is it a colored theme? Mm. Like some people have all red, all yellow. A lot of people around here wear like surfy clothes. Like that's a big thing. You know, do you have a photograph and you say, I want you to go to an imaginary, we don't want to actually kill anyone today. So more, anyone else. So, we're going to go to an imaginary funeral. Who's the funeral for? What's the name of this person? And I want you to imagine that everybody's turned up to show respects for this person. Can you, you know, are they wearing suits and ties? Are they wearing all one color? Are they wearing multicolors? Are they wearing Hawaiian shirts? Are they wearing biker jackets? Is it a send off for a jockey? And everyone, you know, you can decide what they're wearing and whatever it is. Then you turn around the photograph or the Polaroid and it's a bunch of people all wearing those clothes.
That works. That 100% works.
Maybe it's this. Maybe you force a celebrity on them who has a very like a jockey, like Frankie Dettori or someone, right? I know he's alive, but then you would say, whoever it is you're thinking of, I want you to imagine the attire at this funeral, right? So if it was the Queen, maybe everyone would be in suits and ties and smart dark black clothes. If it was Ozzy Osbourne, maybe everyone would be in rocker jackets and turn up on motorbikes. If it was Frankie Dettori, then they'd be in jockey. Whoever it is you're thinking of, and it's a fair choice. Is this fair to say? And they say yes. You have to make sure whatever the force you use is like really, really fair. And they say yes. And you say, who was it? And maybe they say, oh, it was Sir Bobby Charlton, the football player. And you say, okay, so what would everyone possibly wear to his funeral to show respect? Yeah. They'd all be wearing an English shirt. You say, okay, English football shirts. Okay, all right. And that's crazy because everyone in the picture is there. But as long as the force feels incredibly fair, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Another interesting thing for funerals, I think for certain, is like when you bury a loved one, normally you put like one of their favorite or something favorite possessions in with them, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe you can, it's something to do with a like an object reveal, a thought of object reveal. There's plenty of things you can do there.
Yeah, you could do something cool with like an isolated object then in a box or something. That would be quite interesting.
Mm. Oh God, this would be spooky. But so I know what, like I buried my grandfather with some precious things. And imagine they buried someone, and in the coffin, they buried them with a gold butterfly earring. So like really random, right? But no one say, look, did you, the last person, whoever we buried today, did you put something private in there? Yes. Do I know what it is? No. Okay. Take this jewelry box and just peek inside, close it. And they look inside, they see the same thing, even though it's the day of the funeral, you close it. And then it's gone. It's like, talk about like just for a moment, if you could have them back in some way, how would it feel? And they do. I mean, this is too dark. This is, but yeah. I don't know.
It's yeah, it may be a little bit too distressing, but fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You could do it the other way and say, like, I wanted to put something in, but I didn't get the chance. And then you make it disappear. I guess that would save them.
Oh, that's cool.
Distress.
That's cool. I like the concept, the line of, like, what would you give to have, you know, 10 seconds back with this person?
Yeah, yeah.
And you could.
Yeah, it's so tough because the type of mentalism I like is where someone does have an emotional reaction, but you don't want to try. You don't want to go too far at a funeral.
Yeah, you really don't. You really don't. But yeah, there's ways you can word it in, like, you know, the last time you were in the room with them, or you were in the same house as them, maybe you couldn't see them, but you knew they were there. So close your eyes and for 10 seconds, you know, but then something happens. This is so grim. But like something happens and it's like the same thing that no one else would have known they would have done. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's 3 taps on the shoulder.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at though. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's get on to readers' questions because the we're well over an hour into recording and this is probably 45 minutes.
And you've been hungry since 30 minutes before we even started recording.
Literally starving to death for you.
Okay, we'll jump straight into the questions. And I think it's only fitting that I read out the last question we got, which was just before we started recording, because it's from Craig Petty.
Okie dokie.
My nemesis.
Oh, your bestie.
He's not really my nemesis. We've come to terms with it.
You're making the thruple work between you.
I'm trying. He's still hitting back.
he said he openly loves you. I think we can make this work.
Okay, fair enough. Craig says, what process do you go through to make a marketed trick your own when you buy it? What creative process do you go through?
It's a great question.
It is a great question.
Do you want to go with it first?
So usually, whatever method whatever way the tutorial is presented, whether it's a downloaded video or an ebook or whatever, I'll go through it once, fiddle about with it, go through it a second time just in case I missed anything, depending on how complex it is, maybe a third time, but usually one or two is okay for most things. And to be honest with you, I feel like I have to test it out the way it was intended a couple of times, even if it's just, you know, trying it out on a family member. The way it was intended, just so I can see what the sticking points are for me, like my own personal presentation, where the friction is in it. Because there's plenty of turns of phrases that you might need to use in a mentalism effect, or you don't need to use when you're presenting a gimmick, but that's how it's been shown to, you know, that's what the script is that you're provided with. And it's stuff that I wouldn't say, things, you know, said in a way that I wouldn't say them. And well, it's like anything, right? If you're just reading off a script, if you're just reciting a script that you haven't yourself written, you can tell, unless, you know, you're Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm never going to start a trick by saying, you know, and as you can see here, we have a completely normal whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm never going to present it the same way that it might be presented on a tutorial, because it's just not the way I speak.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing I do is the script, just going through it and like softening up some of the edges or replacing certain words, replacing certain phrases. And then once I've had a little look at the script and how it is presented, that's usually when I'll go into the actual effect, the actual routine, and just see what there is that's different about it, see what I could make different about it. It's hard because each trick is different. What you change about each effect is different. I'm trying to think of some examples. Is there anything that is marketed a certain way that you do a completely different way?
Good shout. Marketed tricks that I perform for a start.
Yeah.
And
so what was it about the WoW gimmick that made you kind of come up with your own stuff to do with WoW?
Oh, yeah. Well, Yeah, so I came up with all the money uses of WoW and things that weren't playing card related. And it was just, the reason for it was, I always like to think, when everyone, you know, it's like whenever you go on a tour of a new city, or you go traveling, everyone looks at the Mona Lisa, everyone goes to the Taj Mahal. Yeah. And I've always looked the opposite direction. I've always gone somewhere else. I've always gone when there's not the crowds. And I think that applies in magic more so. It's like, yeah, well, everyone's focusing. What?
Take me to the dive bars.
Yeah.
Literally, take me to the dive bars.
Yeah, that's literally when my type of drinking hole, watering hole, was spit and sawdust. And I think because, well, A, like from a creative, what's the word? Arrogance, egotistical point of view, which is like not more so that like when everyone was in the context of a WoW gimmick, when everyone is focusing on how to use the WoW in the best way to make sense to change a card or reveal a card, then it's a race to the bottom in a way. Like it's only, you know, you're all looking, everyone's chasing after, say everyone's chasing after, I don't know, a pig. Then you're all going to end up eating bacon or pork belly. So I'm going to go chase after the cow and have the steak. You know what I mean? So like,
right. Finding which areas haven't been mined.
Yeah. And also then on the same vein as that, it just never made a lot of sense in general, just to put a card in and take the card out. What was the reason for being there? So I said, instead of thinking of, it feels like everyone thought about trying to create the reasoning why to put the card in and out and routines to use with it. And for me, it was, I'm not going to think about I'm not going to try to make this make sense. I'm going to have, I'm not going to try to make it make sense for playing cards, but what would actually make sense with this? And it was like, oh, well, it's kind of like it's kind of like a minimal wallet. There's a lot of things that look like that. And I started doing years and years ago, I started doing it for really visual tournament sort of cards. Because, well, if you tear a card and you want to put it together, you could hold it together in the holder itself. It would make sense. You go, this is, you know what I mean? Yeah. And reasons like that. But for me, when it comes to recreating a marketing routine as my own, it would be, I normally know what I want to do, use it for before. I'm such a considered purchaser that like normally I know how I'm going to use it before I do it. And often I'll just buy a utility device, you know?
Yeah.
But if I am going to recreate, maybe I love the trick so much and I'd recreate it from scratch, I would just generally strip away like any of the presentation delivered with it, even if it was something that was my style. I would strip it away and I'd sort of sit down and just look at the bare bones of the routine and then just think, where am I going to be when I do this?
Yeah.
Who am I going to be doing this to? Likelihood, you know, and what environments am I going to be in?
Hmm. It's not often I buy gimmicks, but I will buy books or videos.
Yeah.
But I like looking for the parts of it which are transferable. So it might not necessarily be that I even do that effect, but one of the moves that's taught in it works with billets.
Yeah.
And it's like taking what I would actually use, or if it is a gimmick of some kind, how do I make it organic to myself? But it's a tough one. It's especially a tough one because Craig is really, really good at this and will take a marketed effect and come up with 20 different versions of it.
Yeah, that's true. Craig is kind of the master about this. Maybe it's something that we have Craig give us his expertise on the Magic podcast. Which will be out at 9 o'clock tonight on all streaming services. Because he does. Yeah, sort of. He's asking us two idiots and he's the king of it.
I know. Yeah, please help us, Craig, please.
Lord Petty, come to our rescue.
Lord Petty. I'll take the back seat. I'll be the side chick, whatever you need. Please you just help me because I'm not very good at it. Oh, no. Once or twice.
Next question.
Well, it was a two-part question from Lloyd.
Cool.
The second part of his question was, how the hell were you able to convince Lloyd to do anything on a bank holiday Monday? And
Well, I actually came into the studio to start filming something, and you literally texted me saying, I can't do the recording any other time but today. And I was like, oh, I actually am sitting down. Kaylee's gone out with Thomas because I felt like filming a bit of magic. So you caught me basically at the right time.
Yeah. I ruined your day.
Kind of, yeah, because I'm starving and I haven't done my filming. So I've got that going for me.
Like, you're the one who asked me to do this podcast with you. It's on your channel. Don't make me feel bad about it. It's my bank holiday too. So that's how, Craig. It's just necessity.
Necessity.
Matthew Dean asked a question a little while back. We're only just getting to some of them now, and we probably won't get through all of them today anyway. But Matthew Dean asked, he said, I watched Lewis Lavelle's Witch of the Woods. It got me thinking about turning stories on their head, versions where the antagonist wins or where the protagonist is actually a villain in the end. Any thoughts on how you could apply this to magic?
The card trick, the card that picks itself. Like a magic, is it? I'm sure it's Mark Ellison that does a trick like that where they pick every other card but theirs.
Oh, really?
Or the card that picks itself or something where it's, yeah. So instead of them picking a card, they pick 51 cards or something like that.
Oh, we also spoke about that on the episode with Rich Relish, a kind of a version of that.
Yeah. My brain's gone blank because I'm so hungry. This is like a popular theme. Hunger, the hunger. But yeah, how else can you do it? Yeah, by taking... So yeah, I mean, with what Lewis does is very like or story-based and what's called theatric. In a way, but with the magic effect, it's quite modular, and it's not often the person is the driver of the trick, but it's more like sometimes your props are driving you. I don't know for everyone else, but Jake seems to have frozen right here. If Jake is frozen, I'll just continue until Jake reappears or texts me saying there's been an earthquake in Liverpool. But yeah, so in magic, how can you flip the status quo on its head, I suppose, is the question. Here's that text from Jake. He says, my internet has just gone. So I'll just, I'll pause it for a second. And we're back. Sorry for that momentary pause. Actually, for everyone at home, there was no pause. It just cut back in.
No pause.
But Jake had a weird face for a few seconds there, which I love because... He's normally so handsome.
Oh, thank you, dude. We're talking about...
Flipping magic tricks on their head. So in the question, Matthew Dean asks when in the Witch in the Woods, the fantastic live event that was recorded with Lewis Lavelle at the Oracle Bar, which you can find on YouTube. Lewis Lavelle, The Witch in the Woods, search it up.
There's about 2 minutes where you get to see me, innit? Biting on a twig.
Don't even say the joke, Lloyd. Don't say the joke.
Don't do it, Lloyd.
Don't Schofield him. he tells stories in The Witch in the Woods where the protagonist becomes the hero becomes the villain.
Yeah.
That's what Matthew Dean's saying. How can that happen in magic? So, you know, one of the ways is to have every card. The card that picks itself, or the person picks every card but the one they're supposed to pick, so it's like 52 cards different. You could do it with an ambitious card where it keeps rising to, it's supposed to keep rising to the top, but it keeps going to the bottom, and you can make a whole.
Oh, that's fun.
You could have the sandwich card, the card that gets sandwiched, end up sandwiching the sandwich cards with its mate, or you know say the two jacks are going to catch the selected card, and in the end. Yeah, same thing, but the selected card ends up finding its mate and capturing the two jacks. What's the opposite of like maybe the triumph, like the trick that I posted in the Society of Secrets? It's the trick that starts triumphed and ends triumph, or it starts normal and ends triumphed,
right?
It's not supposed to be mixed face up and face down,
yeah.
So that's ways of doing it, because basically it's not so much the story you're going to tell as if he's talking about magic tricks. Like it's more like the objects, the props are the driving force, not the story. So you want to think about how you can just invert some of the classic plots, right?
Right.
Imagine. What are some other classic tricks? What about like cups and balls? What would be the inverse of that?
The inverse of cups and balls. I don't know. This is a really weird, interesting question because it's just sent my mind into complete blankness. This is like a void where once there was knowledge, it's all gone.
Maybe it's cups and balls, and underneath all the cups appears eggs, and when you and the cups then shrink into thimbles. The three thimbles vanish. You crack the eggs, and inside the egg, each of the three eggs is a thimble. So now the cups are inside the balls. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That is pretty cool.
Because you could use perception. Like, oh, you, when you pull the cups back, they look smaller anyway. So when everyone's like, oh my God, there's eggs and stuff, then you could just switch out. You know, did anyone notice the moment the cups became thimbles or smaller? Maybe the bigger eggs, or it doesn't have the eggs, it could be tennis balls, and you know, the cups end up going inside those.
Yeah, how far are you pulling back the cups, Lou?
I don't know,
half a mile.
No, maybe the balls grow like the mini tennis balls underneath the cups, and every time you start juggling them, and they grow as you juggle.
Yeah,
and then everyone, because there's a way you can do that, right? You can switch objects as you juggle. I don't know how to do it. And then as that's happening, maybe you're using a savant off the side of the table to knock the cups off so they vanish. And then inside the three tennis balls, you cut them open, and inside are cups that now fit inside there because they've grown.
Has anyone ever done cups and balls where I don't know what the storyline or the reasoning is behind it, but when the cups lifted, it's like there was liquid in it and it comes out?
Yeah, Adam Wilber's Coffee, Cups and Beans is a great way of doing that. Yeah, you do a whole routine with coffee and beans and giant coffee beans appearing out of the cups. Then the last phase is, or the last two phases, you reveal the cups are full of beans, coffee beans for real. And then the last one is you take the cup, which is a reveal the beans, you pour out liquid coffee.
Oh, it's nice.
A shot of espresso.
Really nice.
Crazy killer routine. All right. Last question.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Matthew Dean, I think I'm going to have to think on that one a little bit further because somehow you like reset my brain. It was some kind of cognito hazard that just fried me. And I was like, So let's get, move on to good old reliable Kevin Oust, friend of the show.
Genius. The genius that is Kevin Oust.
And he asks, are there effects in magic that work best? Oh, wait, no. Have we already answered this?
No.
Are there effects in magic that work best one-to-one with no audience? If so, what's your favorite? We may have already answered that one.
Really?
I'm not sure. I'm not a very good producer, am I?
There used to be a trick that I'm sure it was McKinnon used to show me where you would hold a coin in your hand, in your right hand, in your fist, and you put your other fist out. Then someone would hold on to both your wrists so you couldn't bring your hands close to each other. They'd close their eyes, and when they open their eyes back up, the coin was now in the other hand, or the ring, the borrowed object, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that would only work one-on-one, which is really cool.
That is pretty
cool. You could probably brainstorm the method if you want. I'm sure it was Pete that would do this quite a lot. Maybe someone else. I'm sure it was Pete. But the way it would be done would be, unless you want to guess at home, come up with your own methods. Yeah, let everyone come up with their own methods. But the effect, again, to reiterate, is coin in the hand, in the fist, spectator holds both your wrists, close their eyes for 5 to 10 seconds, and when they open them, the coin is now in the other hand, or the borrowed thing, whatever it's going to be. It's not a duplicate.
Mm. But bonus points if you send an explanation video of your ideas for a method.
Yeah. The other effect is something that I think it's now been shared by Ramsey on YouTube somewhere, but it's not a Ramsey thing. But the vanishing like person effect. You tap a glass with a coin in front of someone.
Yeah.
And then when they open their eyes. Or you're behind them when you're tapping it, ting 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 ting, and if you're like you're sorry, right? I'll start again. The participant sat on a seat. You take a glass and a coin. You stand behind them, about 5 foot, and you tap the coin behind the glass on the glass. Ting ting ting. And when you move to the left, they point to where you move. Ting ting ting. When you move to the right, they point to where you move. Ting ting ting. Stand behind them again. They point over their shoulder where you are. They close their eyes. You keep tapping. Ting 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 ting. And when they open their eyes, you're right in front of them. Or a mile away. It's weird, but it's a one-on-one only effect.
Yeah.
There's the trick that Dynamo does where you can't lift the person, a super strong person can't lift up someone tiny.
Any kind of like, you know, reading stuff is best one-on-one usually.
Yeah, true. When you get
which I know it's not a magic trick or an effect, but it's interlaced between different effects and things. It's always better to say to someone, yeah, okay, come over here and I'll show you something when it's anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Well, this is such a great catalogue of one-on-one only effects.
Hmm.
But yeah, there's some good ones to start with. The coin one's especially fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I might try and come up with my own method for that as well, I think.
Do it.
We did have some homework from last episode that I don't think you've done and I don't think I did.
What was the homework?
It was to do with a question that was asked about tricks that are kind of similar so that when you perform them...
Oh, you can fuse the memory together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't done that.
Yeah, instead we just went with our unlucky number 13 funeral special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which means I can make some cool art for the poster.
Yes, please do. All right. Do we have another question?
The other question we have is a very long question that we'll get into, that will end up making us speak for about another hour, I think. So we potentially may have to move that to another episode as well.
Yeah, I don't think I can survive that. Honestly, I'm just too hungry right now.
Yeah. And Daniel Rothschild has sent in a video with a proposition for us, what we would do with two props he has, which we could get to in another episode as well, I think.
Okay. All right, that sounds fun. We'll do it for the next episode. Episode 14 officially will be the challenge video.
Yeah.
Episode.
We say until you're like, oh, wait.
I need to eat food. I'm just too hungry today.
No, dude, same. I haven't had any breakfast yet, so I need to run out as soon as we finish recording.
Hell yeah. It's actually 20 to 1 in the afternoon as well.
Oh boy.
Well, that was, I think, I mean, no, with no disservice to any of the episodes and guests come forth, but that was by far my favorite episode because I love funeral magic so much. It holds such a dear place in my heart. And I feel like we were just sparking today.
There was a long list of effects there that just, some of them fully formed, some of them iterated on that we can work on to come up with some really cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And a book of funeral magic, 10 tricks to perform at a funeral could actually be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think so. Let's do it. I'm going to go make the gimmick for this.
10 tricks to do after you die.
Yeah.
10 tricks to do after your loved one dies. All right. There's some great names. Suggest some names down in the comments below, either on the Facebook group or in the YouTube comment section. Come and find us at theblackartco.com. Don't forget to hit subscribe on whatever streaming platform you're on, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Are there any more? Deezer. I don't know what
Deezer nuts.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. Hopefully you made it this far. Comment down below, D's nuts, if you've made it this far. Comment down below, Jake's nuts, actually.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake. Bye.
Have a good day. Peace, everyone.